That's what we're talking about today, the courageous king. As we were praying for the season of Palm Sunday and Easter, I want to just challenge everybody today. If you've known Jesus for any amount of time, you've sat through a lot of Palm Sundays. You sat through a lot of Easter services, amen. And I just want to challenge us this morning to really look from a different perspective, to open up our hearts, to see the events of today that we are going to be talking about from a different perspective, and so that it's fresh and so that it's new, all right? And so that it's not just becomes like, well, it's another Palm Sunday, right? It's not just another Palm Sunday. We're so thankful for Jesus and all that he did and all that he chose to do, the courage that he had and showed to be able to walk this journey out for us, for you, and for me. And so I think we need to really settle into that today, realizing what Jesus has done for us. Amen. We sang about it this morning. Thank you, worship team. Just so blessed and wonderful to see the presence of the Lord when we come together and we honor Jesus, right? So thankful for that. So we're talking about the courageous king, and today is Palm Sunday. It marks the beginning of Holy Week, right? The final week of Lent. Palm Sunday is the day in which we commemorate his courageous entrance into Jerusalem. Some of you have palms. Thank you, Kevin, for bringing those today. It kicks off the week that we know as Holy Week, where Jesus was arrested, right, convicted, crucified, and most importantly, resurrected, which we'll be celebrating next week. But a lot went on in that Holy Week. A lot of things happened in the life of Jesus and the disciples in between Palm Sunday today and next Sunday, Easter. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and he washes his disciples' feet. A close friend betrays him. He's spat upon. He's abandoned, beaten, whipped. He's tried and he's convicted of being king of the Jews, which is exactly what he was and is. And he was finally crucified, right? He died and then buried and rose again. These events contrast God's holiness with humanity's sinfulness. And that's what we're going to just reflect on today, all right? You with me? All right, let's pray as we get into Scripture this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Thank you, Jesus, for the courage that you had to continue with God's plan and to say yes for our sake. Jesus, we don't want to take that for granted. And so, God, open our eyes today. Open our ears. I pray today that you will challenge us, that we can see you in a different light. God, thank you for the word of God that's living and active. It transforms. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we get into your word. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So, it's interesting that Jesus knew that going into Jerusalem was going to trigger the religious and political authorities. Have you ever stopped to think about that? They were already not happy with him. They were seeking to find him and really already plotting to kill him. And so he knew by doing this act of going into Jerusalem in this way, it was going to trigger these events that had to happen because they had been prophesied. And of course, they had to happen in a certain order. But he knew what was going to happen. His mission required him to demonstrate incredible courage, regardless of the reactions of others. He is Lord, the absolute authority over all things. The question today is, does he have authority over you? He's King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords. He has authority over all things. But the question today, and I want you to ponder this as we talk this morning, is does he have authority over you too? You see, Jesus endured the cross in order to save humanity. He endured the cross in order to save me and you. There was no other alternative. And in doing so, he demonstrated that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God who came into the world to save the world, but not condemn it. And today we're going to talk about that. So open up to Matthew chapter 21. It's a familiar passage referring to the Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. But we're going to read through it this morning. And you're going to see some really interesting things that we can pull from the scripture this morning. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Oh, man. Jesus had just came from healing blind men. All right. And so he's getting ready to come into the city. Has anybody been watching The Chosen at all, season 4? Okay. Right? There's a big sigh. Oh, good stuff. Such good stuff. You know, we're thankful for The Chosen. We don't get our theology from The Chosen, but we celebrate the God of the Bible, right? We celebrate the stories. But one of the things that I saw was interesting in season 4, which again, not in scripture, but when Jesus was getting ready to go into the city, his mother takes his hand. And again, that's not in the Bible. But you know, we don't know. Was Mary around? We don't know that. But I thought, what an incredible visual to see the mother of Jesus holding the Savior's hand as he was getting ready to walk into the city. And I thought that was such a great visual. He was human. He had all kinds of feelings going on about what he was getting ready to do. And yet he still endured, and yet he still was courageous and did the will of the Father for you and for myself. That is incredible. I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. Amen? Amen. So chapter 21 picks up, and it says this: as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, in verse 5, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Man, so much to unpack there. But the story begins with Jesus approaching Jerusalem. Before he enters, he sends two of his disciples into the village to return with a donkey and a colt. And it's so funny, again, in the Chosen, you know, the disciples, they're talking with each other and they're so confused why Jesus is asking this. He's like, "Isn't that stealing?" You know, they were having this whole conversation between them as they were walking to fulfill what Jesus had asked. And of course, no, he was going to be borrowing it, but it's just interesting. If you haven't been watching The Chosen, please do, because it just gives such a great visual. So the disciples obeyed Jesus, and they brought the donkey and the colt to him. The text says here in 21 verse 5 that this was done to fulfill a prophecy from Zechariah, so from the Old Testament, right? So needing to have a donkey and a colt was important, all right? Jesus couldn't just come on a horse. He needed to be able to fulfill prophecy because, again, he was the Son of God fulfilling the prophecies that were set before him. Amen? And so we need to realize that Jesus has all authority. And there's a couple things that are going on in this scripture. Number one is this: riding a donkey signified peace. All right, that's a really important part. This was an intentional move by Jesus to choose a donkey over any other thing. In the ancient world during this time, if a king rode into town on a horse, he intended war and aggression, all right? And so that was the symbol. If a king came into a city or a town on a horse, they were declaring war and they were declaring aggression. But If a king came in on a donkey, he intended for peace. So again, Jesus was setting up his kingdom. He was setting up what it was going to look like. And again, that's why they missed it, because they the whole time had been looking for a king that was going to come rescue them from Rome, rescue them from the oppression that was placed upon them. They wanted him to come change the political world. And Jesus was like, I didn't come to do that. He didn't come to fix the government system. Are you hearing me? He didn't come to fix our government system now, right? We miss things. We miss it. They were missing it then. They were looking for a savior that was going to come do something different than he was meant to do. Jesus was coming to bring peace and a different kind of kingdom. Amen? Amen. He rode into town on a donkey to demonstrate his kingship that would be one of peace and humility, way different than they expected. I want to share a couple things on the concept of the donkey, all right? These animals are anything but stupid. In fact, once their owners gain their trust, they can be willing and great partners and very dependable. It is said that they actually do not work their best unless they trust the one they are working for. Once a donkey is comfortable with the owner, they will do almost anything within their limits. And as a bonus, they need minimal training. Being sure-footed and having excellent eyesight, they are able to navigate rocky terrain and find paths that the human eye may not even be able to see. Did you know that? They will actually lead the way without having to be guided. Another trait the donkey possesses is an acute predator detection instinct. I did not know this. For this reason, many modern farmers are adding them to their herds as guard donkeys. No kidding. This is for real. Having a keen sense of smell, along with excellent hearing and exceptional eyesight, they are quick to sense predators and sound the alarm they bay loudly and wildly. Isn't that crazy? Guard donkeys. Even more, they will position themselves between the predator and other animals that they are protecting. They have been known to kill foxes, coyotes, and even mountain lions with their sharp hooves and their powerful kicks. The donkey has been perceived as a stubborn animal, but many experts believe that it is because the donkey has such a strong survival instinct that it is difficult to get them to do something they perceive to be dangerous. Amazing. These animals have gotten the wrong story, right? I mean, I learned so much when I was reading that. And Jesus chose this animal that was the lowliest of animals really at that time, but yet so powerful, right? How incredible. So God is good, amen. So we're talking about Jesus has all authority, and riding in on this donkey is what signified peace, all right? So that's the first thing. The second thing we want to look at is Jesus proclaims himself king, all right? That's another reason. When he was coming into the city, he was declaring, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The crowds, though, declared Jesus to be the prophet of Nazareth, but that's not what Jesus claimed for himself. He was more than a moral teacher, more than a prophet. He was and is the King and the Messiah. During his life and ministry, Jesus consistently demonstrated true authority. Jesus had and still has the authority over all nature, demons, sickness, and death. He has authority over it all. He spoke with authority and not like somebody who memorized all the right answers. Amen. Mark 1, verse 22 says this. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Jesus spoke and taught with authority, because he knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew the mission that he had, and he'd already said yes to it. He already said, okay, Lord, your will be done. And so when you know who you are, you know whose you are, you know the mission in your life, guess what? You can live and talk with authority, right? That's God's plan for all of us, to know who we are, whose we are, to know our mission and our purpose, right? So that we can stand in a dark world with authority and say, you know what? Jesus can set you free. Jesus can heal you. We can stand in that authority because of what Jesus has done in us and through us. Amen? Amen. The freedom and the victory is here and available. Guys, we've got to learn how to use the armor that's been given us. We've got to stop walking around being bound up, burdened by the enemy, by the things of this world. He has come for freedom and for victory. It's why he died on the cross, then resurrected. Amen? We have that same power. We sang it because of Jesus inside of us. Mark 4:39 says this. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. He protected people from storms and waves. He had authority over it all. I would have loved to have been there. That would have been the coolest thing, to be in the midst of a crazy storm and Jesus is just like, peace. And it just goes, poof. That's amazing. John 9:7 says this. He told them, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. He healed people from their blindness. Many, many stories and accounts in the Bible. Matthew 8:3 says this. Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Jesus healed people of leprosy, skin deteriorating leprosy that would send people off but on their own and be isolated from their family. And Jesus healed them because of the authority that he had in his life. He set people free of evil spirits and demons. Matthew 8:32 says this, "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. And then another scripture is Luke 4:41 says this, "Many were possessed by demons, and the demons came out at his command, shouting, 'You are the Son of God.' But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak." Even the demons in hell know that he is the Son of God. Oof. Jesus has all power and authority over everything. When he spoke, demons left, fevers disappeared, paralysis went away because he had authority over it all. That same power is in us because of Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that same power is within us. Nature had to obey him. The devil and his demons had to obey him. The same with sickness and disease. They are fully under his authority. Thank you, Jesus, right? Just as God spoke the cosmos into existence in Genesis, everything under Jesus' authority must comply with whatever he speaks because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So no power of hell can have power over you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because that same power and authority lives in you. Amen? Amen? Too many of us are walking around chained and heavy and burdened when God has given us the freedom in Christ. We need to throw those things off, lay those things down at the cross, stop carrying them around as a backpack or a banner, right? We got to stop waving our banners of our disease and sickness and burdens, right? We have a new name. Jesus has given us a new name, chosen, accepted, loved, adored, forgiven. Those are our new names, right? We got to be wearing that as a t-shirt and a flag, right? The early Christians understood this authority. They would cry out, "Jesus is Lord." That word Lord means absolute authority. There's a difference between being saved and knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay, there's a difference. You get saved, you ask Jesus into your heart one day. Yes, he's forgiven you of your sins and you're going to heaven. Having him be your Lord is the day after that, that you continue to live for him, lay down your life every single day and live according to his plans and purposes, not your own. That's when he's Lord over your life. When you lay down your life and you pick up his purposes, amen? And that's a process. We all are on. We're all walking that out. That's why we're doing discipleship. I want to do a little plug if you haven't signed up yet to be a part of our discipleship groups. Whether you look to be a discipleship coach or whether you look to be in a triad, please Everybody should be in one of those groups. We all need to be growing and learning and giving, right? It's part of the mandate of Christ to go and make disciples. So I want to encourage us to keep signing up. We're going to be collecting over the next couple of weeks people's names, and then we'll be launching that in April, and that's going to be great. But the Lord, that Jesus is Lord, right? That meant absolute authority. That's the question. Does Jesus have absolute authority over your life today? Or do you hold pieces to yourself? Are there things that you still have in control because you haven't let go of it yet? It's okay. He loves. He forgives. But today is the day for us to look at our lives and go, man, what do I need to lay down? I need to give him full authority, surrender myself to him. Amen. When they confessed Jesus as Lord, they were proclaiming his complete authority over everything in the world, nature, sickness, demons, death, and even themselves. This proclamation got them killed, by the way, because only Caesar in that day and age was Lord. The Christians' proclamation was punishable as treason. Aren't you glad we don't live in that world? We can say Jesus Christ is Lord, and right now we don't have to worry about that. There are other people, though, in other regions of our world. They don't live like we do. They can have a Bible and they can be put to death for that. They can meet in a church and they can be put in jail. So we don't have that in America at this point, but there are other people and places around the globe that deal with that. This is the Jesus we're talking about, who ate with tax collectors, sat with sinners, and let sinful women wash his feet with their hair and tears. He touched the untouchable. Aren't you glad? Because we all are. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all in that place. He loved those who were oppressed, and he loved their oppressors. John 3, 16 through 17 says this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save it. He never used his authority for selfish purposes or for displays of power. He used his authority humbly as a way to demonstrate God's self-giving love in ways that were consistent with his mission. Here's the question again. Jesus has all authority over nature, sickness, death, but does he have all authority over you? Are you truly his disciple? Do you trust him in all aspects of your life? Is he Lord of your life? See, Jesus was courageous that day, stepping into the city. Courage is defined by strength in the face of pain or grief. He stepped into that day knowing what would unfold. The timing was perfect. Jesus knew Jerusalem would be crowded. The law required all the adults to come and to register for the Passover. And he knew that this was the time for him to make the statement. Up until that time, he had tried to keep it quiet, who he was, what he was doing. And he knew that now is the time with the crowds, with all that's going on. Now is the time to step up and say, here I am, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The Jewish leaders were already plotting to kill him. And this was the most dangerous way he could have entered the city, was in broad daylight with a lot of attention and fanfare. He could have done it a different way. He could have came into the city in the dark of night, snuck in. But he knew this is what it required. He courageously made himself the sacrificial lamb that was going to be for our sins. He willingly laid down his life and began what really began the Holy Week. All those things started happening, right? He knew that those who hated him and wanted him dead would be triggered, but his actions and decisions were based on doing God's will rather than on how men in power would react. Jesus was showing courage. And he wants us to do the same, you guys. In this day and age, in this culture, we've got to stand for him. We've got to stand on truth. We've got to stand in love and in grace. We don't need to be afraid of the world and what's going on. Jesus has already defeated it all. The battle is already won, remember? Amen. We have the victory. And so we need to walk in courage, though. We need to be able to exemplify that at our workplaces, in our families. We need to have those conversations of love and forgiveness. Lots of forgiveness needs to take place. We need to lay down our anger against people that have wronged us or people that are on the other side of the political aisle. We need to lay those things down for the sake of Christ. Amen? To be courageous is to be Christ-like. So who do you say Jesus is? The very large crowd, they spread their cloaks on the road, right? They cut down branches and they called him a prophet. Jesus, however, had no intention of taking the political powers like most kings would have. He was only interested, listen to this, in becoming king of their hearts. They shouted Hosanna, which means save now. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Just not in the way they thought. He came for the salvation of their hearts to bring them back to God, right? There were tens of thousands of visitors that day. And some had never been exposed to Jesus. And that's why they were asking who this is. The crowds called Jesus a prophet, but they did not fully understand. Guys, I don't want us to be like the crowds. I don't want us to miss what's going on right now in the world. We want to be aware of what Jesus is doing, what he's asking us to do. Amen? We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what God is doing because we're so focused on something else. Those closest to Jesus, they knew who he was. They knew exactly who he was. They'd seen the miracles. They'd been up close. They had watched it. They called him Messiah. They called him the Son of God who came into the world to save it, but not condemn it. That's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the Jesus of Palm Sunday, the courage that he took to step in that place and begin the Holy Week, which ends up being in his crucifixion, which thank God, right? So that we could have our sins forgiven. It ends with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that we serve a king who's not dead, he's alive, and we can have that victory. Amen? Amen. So let's do this. Let's stand to our feet, and whoever's coming up, let's go ahead, and we're going to get ready to close here in a minute. So I want us to really ponder on that question. Who is Jesus to you? Is he just a prophet? Is he just a good moral teacher? Or is he your Lord? Does he have absolute authority over your life, over your decisions, over your destiny? Maybe you've asked him to be your savior, but maybe you haven't really entered into that lordship. You haven't really given him full reins of 100% of your life. Well, today, that can be an opportunity for you today. I want to read a little paragraph from C.S. Lewis, and he says this. Let us not say I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he was a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. He's so much more than what they thought he was. Amen? Some of you in here, you already know him as Jesus Christ, the Savior. You've asked him into your heart. He's forgiven you of your sins. Some of you in here, that's already been done. Some of you in here, he is Lord of your life. Absolutely, he has 100% authority. You've submitted it. You're living for him. But there are some of you here today You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You haven't asked Him into your heart, that first step. And so I want us across this room, if we could just close our eyes, because I want to make sure and give an opportunity, a couple different ways we're going to pray today. But the first one is this. I want to give opportunity, if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Him into your heart to forgive you of your sins. And if you're here today, I want to be able to pray for you. We want to be able to give you some tools, some resources to begin that relationship with Jesus. And so if you're in the room today and that's you, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I just want you to raise your hand if you're in this place, because I want to be able to pray for you. And we just want to make sure that we have the opportunity if anybody's here in that space today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For those, the rest of us that are here, you know Jesus. He's already in your heart. He's forgiven you of your sins. And maybe today you recognize that He's not Lord of your life. He doesn't have that lordship over your decisions, over your actions, over your heart completely. And today you would like to give Him that lordship. You'd like to 100% say, Lord, you know what? I want you to come into my life. I submit to you all those things. I want you to be Lord over my life. And today, I recommit myself to you in that way. And if that's you this morning, I just want to be able to pray for you as well. So just slip your hand up across this place. If that's you, you want the Lord to be the Lord of your life, and you've been struggling with that. Yes, absolutely. I see those hands. Yep. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for raising your hands. Anybody else? I want to make sure and give time. Is the Lord of your life? Are you completely submitted to His will, His plans? We'll just pause here in this moment. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else recognizes today you want Jesus to be that Lord over everything in your life? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He sees your hands. He sees your heart, more importantly. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you that you see us. God, I pray for those that have raised their hand and just recognize that they need you to be Lord of their life. There's different areas that they've held on to that they haven't totally submitted. And so, Lord, I pray for each person today that was brave, that had courage to be able to say, yeah, I recognize that in my life and I need prayer. God, you see each one of them. And God, I pray right now that you just give them the courage, Father, to stand and to trust you. Father, I pray that you will heal them. Father, you will forgive them. Father, whatever it is in their life, God, you will help them to be able to live for you completely, with nothing holding them back. God, I pray as they submit themselves to you fully, God, I pray you'll give them fresh vision of what that looks like, that you walk with them, that you give them plans and purposes, and that your will is so good, and that you're such a good Father. You don't ask us to do things that are going to hurt us or harm us, but your plans are for good, and we can trust you with that. And so, Lord, I pray today that they will be able to trust you with their fully submitted lives. God, we thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we celebrate you today on this Palm Sunday. Thank you for having courage. Thank you for doing the will of the Father for us. Thank you for all that you went through during Holy Week. Each choice that you had to make, each place of surrender. And God, we pause in this moment and we recognize those things. We don't take them for granted. And Jesus, we pour out our love on you today and we come with grateful hearts. Thank you for what all of this week means. Thank you for today. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for those that responded to the word today. God, we love you. And we celebrate you today. We shout Hosanna. We're thankful for the victory because of Christ. We're thankful for the freedom because of Jesus. In your precious name, amen.